Good morning, and welcome to Faith Baptist Church. It's good to have you join us online again today. We have a few announcements to start out. I think now, as most of you know, we are, with the governor, some of the governor's loosening of restrictions, we are starting to have small groups here at the church. Youth group is meeting. Some of the GDR groups are starting to meet. Wednesday night adult Bible study is meeting. We still are not doing our Wednesday night kids club at this point yet, just because of all the extra bodies and the need for some extra social distancing. Things are going to start changing, though, a little bit in the next couple weeks. So this week and next week, we are going to be meeting online like we've been doing. However, on the 31st, the last day of May, we are going to start having a service here back at church. We're going to have just a 10 a.m. service on that day. And we'll be doing our best to practice social distancing. So if you are wanting to come, you're welcome to. Again, if you are in a high-risk category, you may still want to choose to stay home. We'll let you make that choice. But we will begin to start meeting again on the 31st, 10 a.m. only. Then the next week, on June 7th, we will have 9 a.m. Sunday school, and 10 a.m. we'll have our worship service. So we're trying to ease back into things, and we will hopefully we'll be able to get back together as a whole church. We know that some of you, again, are not comfortable coming quite yet, and that's okay. We'll still be providing something online. We'll be figuring that out, either a video or maybe just audio, but we'll still have a service online after the service. So we'll probably have more announcements on that will probably be coming forward in the future here. So stay tuned. If something changes on this due to restrictions around the state, Pastor will be sending out messages. It'll be on our Facebook page. So, but for right now, we're planning on beginning meeting again 10 a.m. on the 31st. So we're going to start the time out this morning kind of like we've been doing. Grab your cell phones. Grab your computers, send out a text, send an email to someone in the congregation, greet them, say, hey, I miss you, hey, how are you doing? It'll be good to be back together again in a few weeks. So look, as we've been doing, let's go ahead and practice that right now. Get your phones out and go ahead and your computers out and go ahead and start on this. When times get difficult and rough, we all tend to look to someone else to lead us out of these difficulties. In our current times, many are looking to government or governmental leaders to lead us and to save us. Some may look to a spouse or a close friend to be that leader. Some may look to a religious figure, whether a priest or a pastor or a religious person from history. Looking to leaders for direction is not a bad thing in and of itself, especially if that leader is going in the right direction. But we need to make sure that as we follow human leaders, we're not ignoring the supreme leader, God himself. As fallible and sinful human beings, we tend to look to earthly leaders instead of to God. We need to keep reminding ourselves to look to God first and foremost as the one who is showing us the way we need to go. Please take your hymnals this morning, if you have, or follow on the PowerPoint. We're going to sing Follow On, hymn 121, Follow On, hymn 121.
Down in the valley with my sing and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow, follow on, walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. With his hand to lead me, I will never, never fear. Danger cannot frighten me if my Lord is near. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley or upon the mountain steep, close beside my Savior would my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on.
Let's take a minute this morning and bow our hearts and our heads before our great God. And after a moment of silence, Fred, would you come and lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this special moment you gave for us. The moment so special because we gather together here for worship you, for praise you. God, take our hearts and teach us for follow you better each day in our life. For follow, because follow you is nothing compared for walk close to you. In this moment, in this situation, nothing brings peace for our heart. Lead us. So Lord, please help us for worship you every day in our life, in every moment, in every circumstance, because you is our God. You is our pastor. You has our life in your hands. So God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this moment. And I pray especially for Pastor Tim, for your moment in preaching your word, your Holy Spirit, lead him for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Reading from Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me.
These beautiful words from Psalm 139 remind us of God's constant care. It says, even if I make my bed in hell, or as it means literally, make my bed in Sheol, or the place of death, God is there. I cannot escape his love and watchful care wherever I go or whatever happens to me in this life or even as I pass into the next. God is there. All the way my Savior leads me. We're going to sing hymn 89, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
Ask beside, can I doubt his tender mercy, who through love life has been my guide. Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Here are some words now from Scripture that were first of all written to the nation of Israel as they face captivity in a foreign land. But I see an application to the faithful few of Israel and to all the people who place their faith in Christ.
Isaiah 42, verse 16. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in path they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them, and not forsake them.
Through Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection for us, our sins have been forgiven, and we have been led into a brand new life and have given new eyes to see His glorious light. And how do we see this light? As Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." This is God's word, the Bible, that He has given to us. It leads us in the right way and shows us the direction that we should go. We're going to sing a chorus, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet."
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still You're there right beside me. And nothing will I fear as long as You are near. Be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget Your love for me, and yet Jesus, be my guide and hold me to Your side, and I will love You to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Here are a couple verses from that great psalm that talks about our loving shepherd.
Psalm 23:2-3. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
I can walk forward with confidence this morning because my God is leading me. Let's end with He leadeth me. Hymn 460. 460, He leadeth me.
Longing in our darkness, now the light. life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, He the perfect Son of Man. In His living, in His suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law, in Him we stand. Come behold the wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon the tree. In the stead of ruined sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan unfold. Bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death the God of life. But no grave could e'er restrain Him, praise the Lord, He is alive. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as He will be when He comes. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when He comes.
Morning, Faith Baptist Church. It's a great blessing to be with you this morning, and any time that we can gather together and worship. And even though the worship's a little different, has been now for several weeks, it's a great blessing, just a privilege to worship our great God. And we thank you for joining us. Open your Bibles now to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. It's a familiar passage. Daniel chapter 4. I'd like to begin with verse 34. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we truly rejoice for the great privilege of worshiping together today. And God, I ask for your help as we continue to worship. We have your word before us. You speak to us through your word. And God, my prayer this morning is that we would listen. And God, we know that this listening actually is a work of your Spirit within us. So we ask that the Holy Spirit would just open our understanding. And God, as we often say, would just give us ears to hear. And Father, we may hear with our physical ears, but God, we need to hear with our spiritual ears. So help us this morning. And as we look at this passage in the book of Daniel, oh God, help us. Help us to see ourselves. Help us to get a glimpse of our own hearts. And Father, help us to respond to you in humility and submission today. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, God, that you will take this word and you will change us. You promised to do that, God. We look to you, and our hope and our joy is in you. We praise you and thank you now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, Daniel chapter 4 is the story of a king. It's not the first time that we've looked at Daniel chapter 4, and it may not be the last time. It's an important chapter, a very, very important truth for us in this passage. But yet, folks, it would be very easy for us to close our ears and to dismiss our thoughts concerning Daniel chapter 4. Because the lesson of Daniel chapter 4 is for kings and rulers and prime ministers and presidents. And frankly, folks, we have no king here this morning. We have no prime ministers here. We have no presidents in the number of the people that we call Faith Baptist Church. But wait, let's not be too hasty as we think about that this morning. Let's not dismiss this passage of Scripture. Daniel chapter 4 is also for us, all of us. And we must, and I emphasize to you this morning, we must learn the lesson of Daniel chapter 4, or we will perish. And if we learn the lesson of Daniel chapter 4, we are in for the greatest joy and delight in the universe, and our hearts and our lives will be filled with a trust in God. And that's why Daniel chapter 4 is important for us today. Daniel chapter 4 will help us trust God. Now remember, God is always working to move His people to trust Him. And we're looking now at the life of a king. Nebuchadnezzar is his name. He's not a believer, and yet we will see this morning in our passage that God works in his heart and God gives light to his soul. This record of King Nebuchadnezzar gives us great insight into how God brings kings and people like you and me to a place of trust in God. So Daniel chapter 4 is a very important chapter. Here's how we'll look at our passage this morning. First of all, we'll look at the one main truth in this passage. Second, we'll look at three stages of this truth. And third, we'll look at three clear applications of this truth for us today. So let's begin. Let's look now at Daniel chapter 4. And let's look first of all at the one main truth. Now what Daniel describes in this passage is the pathway of a man from the pride of self to the praise of God through the road of humility. Now, folks, this is a pathway that every person in this world must walk if he wants to go to heaven, if he wants to have eternal life. Now, why do I say that? Well, ever since Adam's first sin, we've all been born with Adam's sinful, rebellious disposition. We call it the sin nature. In other words, there is a part of us that rebels against God and is against God and wants nothing to do with God. Now, the essence of that first sin by Adam was this. It was a rejection of dependence upon God in favor of dependence upon self. Now, here's another way to say it. Instead of trusting God, Adam trusted himself. And folks, ever since then, all people everywhere have been born with this sinful nature of self-dependence. Now, another name for self-dependence is pride. I want you to think about this carefully this morning. Instead of submitting to God's rule in our lives as king, we have become the kings of our own lives. We have set ourselves up as the rulers of our own lives. Now, this is bad news, real bad news, because the Word of God tells us very clearly that God hates pride. Hold your place in Daniel chapter 4 and turn with me to Proverbs Proverbs chapter 8, and I want you to look at verse 13. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The writer of Proverbs says very clearly, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate." In other words, folks, God hates pride. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11. Notice now what Isaiah writes. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11. He says this, "The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." So let me say it again. God hates pride. Now, folks, that's bad news. But here's some good news. God loves prideful sinners. Let me explain that. That's why He sent Jesus, the Son of God, to save us from the power and the penalty of our pride. And therefore, Jesus Himself would say in Matthew chapter 18, verse 4, He would say, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And folks, what that means then is this, that Jesus came into the world to convert people from God-like dependence upon self to childlike dependence upon God. And then Jesus died to pay the penalty for our pride and to show us the way of humility and to send all of our boasting toward God and not toward ourselves. So God has provided a pathway that leads from pride to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and eternal life. God has done that through Jesus Christ. And folks, this is what the Bible is all about. That's why I say that Daniel chapter 4 is an important passage. That's what the Bible's about, and that's what this chapter is about. And that's the one truth that we focus on today. And so with everything that we say, keep that one truth in mind this morning. Now, let's look at three stages of this truth. Three stages of this truth. There are three parts or three stages of King Nebuchadnezzar's story here in Daniel chapter 4. There's the stage of pride, there's the stage of humility, and there's the stage of praise. And so let's look in some detail at these three parts or these three stages in this record of Nebuchadnezzar. The first stage we'll call the pride of self. This is the stage of pride. Now, this passage takes place sometime around 570 BC in Babylon. The Jews have been taken into captivity, and Nebuchadnezzar is king of Babylon and a great world empire, and he knows it. And folks, there's no greater king, there's no greater empire on the face of the earth at this time. And Nebuchadnezzar's heart is filled with pride. This is stage one. This is where we all start. Now look with me at Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. Daniel chapter 4, and look at verse 30. "The king spoke, saying, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?'" Now can you see in that statement the nature of his pride? I think so. As a matter of fact, in that statement by Nebuchadnezzar, we'll see the nature of our own pride. Notice now two parts to his pride. First of all, Nebuchadnezzar says, "Is not this great Babylon which I have built by my great power," or "by my mighty power." And then notice second, he says, "for the honor," or "for the glory of my majesty." Think about this, folks. Here's what he says, "by my power and for my glory." You see, that's the heartbeat of pride. Now, what's that mean? By my power. means to Nebuchadnezzar and to us that I love to think of myself as the cause and the origin and the controller and the source of all my greatness. When I see what I have built and accomplished, I love to dwell on the fact that my intelligence and my initiative and my power were the cause of all of this greatness. And it came from me. It came through me. And so pride gets its pleasure from being independent and self-determining and self-sufficient. But then Nebuchadnezzar also said, "For the glory of my majesty." And that means to Nebuchadnezzar, and that means to us, that I have built this great Babylon for my glory. All that I do for my glory. And so this pride is driven by the desire for glory, and glory that men ascribe to human achievement. Pride loves to think of itself as the source of great achievement and the recipient of great praise. Nebuchadnezzar says, "For my glory." And so, brothers and sisters, here then is the essence of pride. It's the enjoyment of self-sufficiency rather than God-sufficiency. It's the enjoyment of self-exaltation rather than God-exaltation. Now, please don't make the mistake of saying right now, "Well, pride is surely not my problem because I have no great achievements and I have no exaltation from men." But brothers and sisters, pride can be the enjoyment and the delight and the desire for these things. And you may not have great achievements, you may not have great exaltation, but your heart can desire them and want them and move you toward them. And even in the midst of failure or lack of achievement, pride can be the driving force in your life. And folks, we fight with this continually. Every one of us struggle with this. By my power and for my glory, I will do this or I will do that. And so the first stage in Nebuchadnezzar's record here and ours is pride. The second stage is humility. You see, folks, by His grace, God will move us into the valley of humiliation. So here's the work of God. God works to move people away from pride or away from a trust in themselves to a trust in God. And believe me, folks, God's always working this way, and God always works in His own time. And though we don't deserve it, God will bend our stiff necks and God will bow our stubborn backs to the ground of humility where true life is flowing. Look with me at verses 31 and 32. Daniel chapter 4, verse 31. While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times or 7 years shall pass over you." Oh, brothers and sisters, it's a long way down from the throne of Babylon to the grass of the field. And the reason that God made Nebuchadnezzar act like an ox that eats grass with hair as long as eagle's wings and nails like a bird's claws, the reason He did that was to show us the very nature of pride. It was to show us what pride will do to us. You see, pride puts man in a class with the beast of the field. And that's the point of Nebuchadnezzar's insanity. And so stage two on the pathway that leads to God is the painful discovery of this truth. You see, we thought we were strong and we discover we are weak. We thought we were weak and we discover that we're protecting our pride. We thought we were self-sufficient, and we discover that we are totally dependent upon God for everything, for life, for breath, for all things. And folks, God has His own way in taking us to this valley of humiliation. It may be marriage problems. It may be family struggles. It may be job struggles. It may be people problems or money problems or health problems or coronavirus problems. You see, God will move us from the throne of our life to the bitter grass of the field. And He does it in love, and He does it in mercy. He does it for the gracious purpose of salvation and sanctification. He does it because He loves us. He does it to show us that we can't live life without Him. God will humble us. God will knock us off the high perch of our pride. God will squeeze the pride from every part of our lives. God knows that pride will destroy us. It will separate us from God now. And if nothing is done, it will separate us from God forever. And then, folks, that brings us to the third stage. And the third stage is the praise of God. Look at verse 34. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. So what is the biblical opposite of pride? Oftentimes we'll give the answer, it's humility, and I think that's a right answer. But here in this passage, notice what we see. This passage teaches us that the opposite of pride in man's strength is praise in God's sovereignty. Now don't forget, this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking here. This is the same king who declared that Babylon was built by my power and for my glory. This was the most powerful man on earth. This was the mightiest kingdom on earth. And God has brought this great king to this place in his life. Again, look at the last part of verse 34 and verse 35. Nebuchadnezzar says, I bless the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, what have you done? Let me stop here just for a moment. Isn't this a blessed encouragement in the time that we live in now? That we know that God rules over all things. And folks, Nebuchadnezzar said this. This powerful king who was brought low, he declares this truth about God. And folks, this is what humility does. And this is why God sends us through the valley of humiliation. The opposite of animal-like pride is praise to the God who rules over all things. Now, this is real for Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, his thinking about God has changed. He calls God the Most High. He says that God rules over the kingdoms of men. His feelings about God have changed. He blesses and He praises and He honors the Most High. And so there's gratitude and thankfulness to God. And folks, that's an important part of praise. He now knows the sovereignty of the Most High God. He now believes in the sovereignty of the Most High God. And he now delights in the sovereignty of the Most High God. And it's no longer by my power and for my glory, but it's now by God's power and for God's glory. His life changed when he came to know and believe and delight in the Most High God. Now, just for a moment, let's consider God. Throughout this passage, God is the Most High. And it simply means that God is sovereign ruler over all things. He is the chief. He is the highest. He is supreme in power. He's superior in position. He's independent of. He's unlimited by no one else. He is the greatest. He is the highest being there is. He controls everything. His will is absolute. He does what He pleases. He stands alone above all. Listen to the words in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. It summarizes this truth about God. Isaiah writes and he says, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no other God besides me." Folks, there is absolutely nothing that moves outside His purposes and His plans, His will and His way. He is the Most High, and there's not a truth that will bring more significant change in our lives than this truth of the sovereignty of God. Everything, all things are working by His power and for His glory. And folks, this is why we can and this is why we must trust Him. God brought the most powerful king on this earth to the full knowledge and acceptance of this truth. And God will do the same for us. And that brings us to three applications. The first application is for every one of us here today. This example from Nebuchadnezzar is for every king that listens today. And folks, make no mistake about it, we have set ourselves up as kings in our own little kingdoms, all of us, every one of us. And so what is God saying to us today? God is saying, come down from your throne. If you continue to live on your throne, I will bring you down. Come down from your throne. Abdicate your rule and reign and life. There is only one way that leads to heaven. We must move from pride to humility, to praise. And God, by His grace through Jesus Christ, gives us opportunity for repentance and faith. And we can turn from trusting ourselves to trusting God in Jesus Christ. And folks, that's what we call salvation. And this same turning from self to a trusting God must take place in sanctification. You see, we move toward God and we move away from pride. That's the first application. It's for all of us. There's a second application, and this application will fit our nation, our president, our leaders, and anyone or everyone who has a place of authority. And it brings us to this one simple truth. God would have us learn the same truth that He taught Nebuchadnezzar. Look at verse 32, Daniel chapter 4, verse 32. You see, God did this. God did this to Nebuchadnezzar. Look what He says. Until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He chooses. Oh, folks, look at this truth. Our nation and its leaders need desperately to hear this truth and believe this truth. Whatever the situation, whatever the crisis, whatever's taking place in our nation, the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. The Most High God does according to His will. The Most High even gives power and authority to whomever He chooses. And brothers and sisters, we can be extremely and eternally happy and thankful for that truth. There's a third application, and this application is for every one of us. There is a direct connection between humility and thankfulness. You see, true thankfulness comes from a heart of humility. True thankfulness comes from people who understand that they're undeserving of every gift that they receive. True thankfulness comes from people who understand their lowly position before the Most High God. Proud people don't give thanks. Humble people do. All true thankfulness comes from a right view of ourselves and a right view of the Most High God who is over us. And folks, that's why whatever we face as individuals or as families or as a nation, we can trust God and we can thank God. Now, let's bring all this together. So where are you in these three stages of Daniel chapter 4? Are you in the pride stage? Are you the king in your life? Are you ruling by your power and for your glory? Is your life characterized by self, what you want and what you will do? You see, this is where we all are without God. Or are you in the humility stage? Is God breaking your pride? Is God squeezing your self-sufficiency? Is God showing you that you're weak and you're helpless and you're little and everything that you have and everything that you need comes from God? Are you broken and humble before God? Is God working to move you to trust Him? Or are you in the praise stage? You see, the praise stage comes from the humility stage. Has your pride in self been replaced by praise for God? Do you acknowledge and live your life for the honor and the glory of the Most High God? See, this is why God made us. This is our true purpose in life, by His power and for His glory we exist. So brothers and sisters, any who are listening today, let us turn from self and pride. Let us be humble before the Most High God, and let us live every moment in the power, for the glory, for the praise, and with hearts full of thankfulness to God Most High. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just lift up words of thanksgiving for this passage this morning. There's precious truth here, important truth here, God. And we acknowledge that this same truth is revealed and declared throughout Your Word, and yet we see a specific example this morning from Daniel chapter 4. Thank You, Father, for it. I just pray now, Father, You take it and work it in our hearts. Only You can do this. I just pray that by Your grace we come to You with hearts that are open, hands that are open, looking to You, crying out to You, declaring our great need for You. Father, if there's anyone here, anyone listening, who's never placed their faith in Jesus Christ, God, they're still living as the kings of their own life. God, I pray that You bring them to this place of humility where they see themselves lowly before You. They see themselves with the great need of salvation, and they look to You and Your provision through the person of the God-man, Jesus Christ. Work in lives this morning, I pray, dear God, for Your glory. Thank You again for Your faithfulness, for Your great mercy, and for the truth that will change our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask these things. Amen. Amen.
Spirit there. Stayed up on Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from
close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for what we've heard this morning. Thank you that you are a God who desires to lead us. Thank you are a God who desires even to humble us. This is hard for all of us to hear to a certain extent because we all do have pride. But just help us as you continue to work in our lives. Help us to continue to bow the knee to you, and please show us your greatness. Show us your glory. Show us that you are a God who loves us and a God who brings us great peace. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.